I'm sure when you go to medical school, they put that up on the board the first day. Okay, everyone, now remember, you've got your tube coming down from the mouth, and that goes into your circle area. That's pretty much all we know. That's it for today. Don't miss tomorrow. We're going to practice making people wait in a little room in their underwear. And then you'll all be doctors. That's all there is to it. Then they have to show you the pain. You know that part where they say, here's where you hurt. Pain is usually represented by some sort of lightning attacking the guy. Glowing redness is popular. Sometimes parts of the guy's body will just burst into flames. Sometimes the whole guy is like out of focus. I never had a doctor say to me, are you having any pain? Yes, I am. Are you having any lightning with the pain? Have you been in a funhouse mirror at any time? Then they tell you about the pain-relieving ingredient. There's always got to be a lot of that. Nobody wants anything less than extra strength. Extra strength is the absolute minimum. You can't even get strength. Strength is out now. It's all extra strength. Some people not satisfied with extra, they want maximum. Give me the maximum strength. Give me the maximum allowable human dosage. Figure out what will kill me and then back it off a little bit. And why does that pharmacist have to be 2.5 feet higher than everybody else? Who the hell is this guy? Clear out, everybody. I'm working with pills up here. I'm taking them from this big bottle and then I'm going to put them in a little bottle. That's my whole job. I can't be down on the floor with you people. Yes, I'd like to get this prescription filled, please. All right, but you wait down there. No one comes up here but me. It's that little bit of arrogance in the medical community I think we could all live without. Like when you go to see the doctor, you don't see the actual doctor first. You must wait in the waiting room. There's no chance of not waiting. That's the name of the room. The doctors are all back, though. We can't take them now. We've already got this room. And you sit there, you pretend you're reading your little magazine. You're actually looking at the other people. I wonder what he's got. That guy's a goner. Then they call. You get very excited when they call you. Because you think now you're going to see the doctor. But you're not. Now you're going into the next smaller waiting room. Now you don't even have your magazine. Now you got your pants around your ankles. You're sitting on that butcher paper they pull out over the table. Sometimes I bring a pickle with me and I put it next to me right there on the table. I don't know. In case the doctor wants to fold the whole thing up for a to-go order. Get your pants off and get in there and I will tell you what I think. Doctors always want your pants off. Take your pants off. Doctor would like to see you with no pants. Just get them off. It's my head. I said take your pants off. But I hate the extra weight, so maybe I'll start screwing around with some of his stuff, you know? Maybe I'll turn that thing up a little bit. Whatever the hell that does. Take all the tongue depressors out. Lick them all. Put them all back in. Yeah, two can play at this waiting game. Just once I'd like to say to the doctor, you know what? I'm not ready for you yet. Why don't you go back in your little office? I'll be in a minute. And get your pants off. Then we'll see what's what. Why does the doctor need that little office for anyway? You know, his books, little stupid aquarium there. I guess he doesn't want people to see him looking stuff up. What the hell was that? Jesus Christ. That was kind of gross. That wasn't the tube or the circle. Hi, a friend of mine is going in for a nose job next week. Guy. Nose job. You know what the technical term for a nose job is? Well, of course you do. It's New York, everybody. Rhinoplasty. rhino. Now, this guy is aware he has a bit of a problem. He's obviously sensitive about it. That's why he made the appointment. Do we need to compare him to a rhinoceros? When you go for a hair transplant, they don't say, "We're going to perform a cue ballectomy on you, Mr. Johnson. We feel the chromedomia has advanced to a level we term skinheadia." These are all medical terms that you don't need to understand. Of course, everybody wants to look their best. We're all out there. Everybody wants to look good. Guys, gals, sexuality. I am a single guy, by the way. There are no other guys attached to me. Thank you very much.
I love you.
Thank you. I love you too. But I do feel the need to see other people. I got engaged about 10 or so years ago. Didn't want to get married. That was the only closest I got. I can tell you this, if you're engaged and you don't want to get married, it's a little tense. It's like you're on that first hill of the roller coaster, but you don't really want to go on the ride. You're just going click, 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 click. I was best man at a wedding one time. That was pretty good. Pretty good title, I thought, best man. I thought it was a bit much. I thought we'd have the groom and a pretty good man. That's more than enough. If I'm the best man, why is she marrying him? Had to wear the tuxedo, which I'm convinced was invented by a woman. Well, they're all the same. We might as well dress them all the same. The tuxedo also functions as a wedding safety device for the bride. In case the groom chickens out, everybody could just take one step over and the ceremony continues. That's why they don't say, "Do you take Dave Williams to be your lawfully wedded husband?" They say, "Do you take this man?" But men and women will never understand each other. We all know that. It's just not going to happen. Just forget it. I know I will not understand women. I know I will never be able to understand how a woman could take boiling hot wax, pour it on her upper thighs, rip the hair out by the root, and still be afraid of a spider. I'm not spending any more time working on that. And I know women don't understand men. I know there are women that are looking at me right now going, "I wonder what goes on in that little brain of his. I bet you I could manipulate that brain. I bet you could." I bet you women would like to know what men are really thinking. The truth, the honest truth of what men are really thinking. Because I could tell you. Would you like to know? All right, I'll tell you. Nothing. We're not thinking anything. We're just walking around, looking around. This is the only natural inclination of man. To just kind of check stuff out. We work because they force us to, but other than that, this is the really only thing we want to do. We like women, we want women, but that's pretty much as far as we've thought. That's why we're honking car horns, yelling from construction sites. These are the best ideas we've had so far. Honking the car horn amazes me. This has got to be just the last living brain cell in this guy's skull that comes up with this idea. I don't understand. It's so awful. She's on the street. He's in the car. Beep, beep. I think I made my point. What is she supposed to do? Kick off the heel, start running after the car? Grab onto the bumper? Car comes to a stop. "It's a good thing you honked. I had no idea how you felt." Why do men behave in these ways? Why are we rude, obnoxious, getting drunk, falling down, peeling rubber, making kissing noises out the window? Why are we like this? I know what you ladies are thinking. No, no, not my guy. I'm working with him. He's coming along. No, he's not. He's not coming anywhere. We men know, no matter how poorly we behave, it seems we will somehow end up with women anyway. Look around this room. Look at all the men you see with lovely women. Do you think these are special men? Gifted men? One-of-a-kind men? They're the same jerks and idiots that I'm talking about. They're doing just fine. Men as an organization are getting more women than any other group working anywhere in the world today. Wherever women are, we have men looking into the situation right now. We explored the earth looking for women. Even went to the moon just to see if there was any women there. That's why we brought that little car. Why would you bring a car unless there's some chance of going on a date? What the hell were they doing with a car on the goddamn moon? You're on the moon already! Isn't that far enough? There is no more male idea in the history of the universe than why don't we fly up to the moon and drive around? That is the essence of male thinking right there. See, because all men kind of think of themselves as like low-level superheroes in their own world. I'm not even supposed to be telling you this. But when men are growing up and they're reading about Batman, Spider-Man, Superman, these aren't fantasies. These are options. This is the deep inner secret truth of the male mind. I'll give you a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Did you ever see a guy out on the highway moving a mattress tied to the roof of the car? Without fail, he's got the arm out the window holding the mattress. This is classic male idiot superhero thinking. This moron believes if the wind catches this huge rectangle at 70 miles an hour, I got it, I got it. Don't worry about it. I'm using my arm. But I'm sure there are many dates going on in this room right now. Dating is not easy. What is a date really but a job interview that lasts all night? The only difference between a date and a job interview is not many job interviews. Is there a chance you'll end up naked at the end of it? Well, Bill, the boss thinks you're the man for the position. Why don't you strip down and meet some of the people you'll be working with? Sex doesn't make anything any easier. Even only makes it more complicated. Women have two types of orgasms, the actual ones and the ones that they make up on their own. And I can give you the male point of view on this, which is we're fine with it. You do whatever the hell it is you gotta do. To a man, sex is like a car accident anyway. And determining a female orgasm is like being asked, what did you see after the car went out of control? Well, I remember I heard a lot of screeching noises. I was facing the wrong way at one point. And in the end, my body was thrown clear. I'll tell you what I like about Chinese people. They're hanging in there with the chopsticks, aren't they? You know they've seen the fork. They're staying with the sticks. I'm impressed by that. I don't know how they missed it. Chinese farmer gets up, works in the field with a shovel all day. Shovel, spoon, come on. There it is. You're not plowing 40 acres with a couple of pool cues. And why is McDonald's still counting? This is really insecure, isn't it? 40 jillion, 80 million, zillion, billion, killion, tillion. What is this? Does it mean anything to anyone? 89 billion sold. Okay. I'll have one. I would love to meet the chairman of the board of McDonald's. Just say to him, look, we all get it. You've sold a lot of hamburgers, whatever the hell the number is. Just put up a sign, McDonald's, we're doing very well. I don't need to hear about every goddamn one of them. But what is their ultimate goal? To have cows just surrendering voluntarily or something? Showing up at the door. We like to turn ourselves in. We see the sign. We realize we have very little chance out there. We'd like to be a happy meal, if that's at all possible. I was in London about a month ago. The World Cup was going on. I enjoy any sporting event where nations get involved. I find that the most exciting. The Olympics is really my favorite sporting event, although I think I have a problem with that silver medal. I think if I was an Olympic athlete, I would rather come in last than win the silver, if you think about it. You know, you win the gold, you feel good. You win the bronze, you think, well, at least I got something. But you win that silver, that's like, congratulations, you almost won. Of all the losers, you came in first of that group. You're the number one loser. No one lost ahead of you. And they don't lose by much. You know, these short races, 0.03, 0.02. I don't know how they live with that the rest of their lives, because you got to tell the story. Everyone wants to hear the story. Wow, congratulations, silver medal. Did you trip? Did you not hear the gun go off? Tell us what happened. It's 0.01. People say, what was the difference in the margin there? What was it? Well, it was like from now to now. I trained, I worked out, I exercised my entire life. I never had a date, I never had a drink, I never had a beer. I was doing push-ups since I was a fetus. I flew halfway around the world. Everybody I knew in my whole life was there. The guy shot out the gun. Oh. And they always have that photo finish. You know, the photo finish was always silver, gold. This is the whole race. Gold, silver. Bronze, dead last. Greatest guy in the world, never heard of him. And, you know, guys gotta be thinking, if I had a pimple, I would have won. So many events at the Olympics don't make sense to me. I don't understand their connection to any reality. Like in the Winter Olympics, they have that biathlon. You know that one? That combines cross-country skiing with shooting a gun. How many alpine snipers are into this? But ski, shoot a gun, ski, bang, bang, bang. To me, it's like combining swimming and strangle a guy. Why don't we have that? That makes absolutely as much sense to me. Just put people in the pool at the end of each lane for the swimmers. And that other one that I love is the luge. You know the luge where the guy wears the slick suit? This is on the bobsled run, but it's not even a sled. It's just Bob. It's just a human being hanging on for their life. This is the whole sport. Just, ah. Oh, he pointed his toes. Oh, this guy's a tremendous athlete. The luge is the only sport I've ever seen that you could have people competing in it against their will, and it would be exactly the same. You know, if they were just grabbing people off the street, hey, 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 what is this? I don't want to be in the luge. You know, you put the helmet on them, you wouldn't really hear them screaming, just, you're in the luge, buddy. World record. Didn't even want to do it. I want to see that event next year, the involuntary luge. I consider myself something of a sportsman. I like sporty type things. Scuba diving, did that in Australia. That was a lot of fun. Another great activity where your main goal is to not die. That's really all I was thinking about the entire day. Just don't die, don't die, don't die, don't die. There's a fish, there's a rock, who cares, don't die. I don't want to die, don't let me die. Let's swim and breathe and live. Because living is good and dying not as good. So I go with this guy, Mr. Scuba Guy. Takes me to the store, makes sure I buy everything I need. I had the waterproof wallet I got now. Nylon, in case we run into a sea turtle that can break a 50. Waterproof watch, that's important. Gee, I'm completely out of oxygen. And look at the time. Jeez, now I'm dead and I'm late. I like these somewhat high-risk things, the scuba, I've gone hang gliding, I've gone skydiving. I like a little bit of risk. I don't know, maybe that's why I do this. I saw a thing, actually, a study that said speaking in front of a crowd is considered the number one fear of the average person. I found that amazing. Number two was death. Death is number two? This means to the average person, if you have to be at a funeral, you would rather be in the casket than doing the eulogy. Skydiving was definitely the scariest thing I've ever done. Let me ask you this question in regards to the skydiving. What is the point of the helmet in the skydiving? I mean, can you kind of make it? You jump out of that plane, that chute doesn't open. The helmet is now wearing you for protection. Later on, the helmet's talking with the other helmets, going, it's a good thing he was there or I would have hit the ground directly. You never jump out of a plane unless you got a human being strapped underneath you. That's basic safety. There are many things that we could point to as proof that the human being is not smart. The helmet is my personal favorite. The fact that we had to invent the helmet. Now, why did we invent the helmet? Well, because we were participating in many activities that were cracking our heads. We looked at the situation. We chose not to avoid these activities, but to just make little plastic hats so that we can continue our head-cracking lifestyles. The only thing dumber than the helmet is the helmet law, the point of which is to protect a brain that is functioning so poorly, it's not even trying to stop the cracking of the head that it's in. At least the helmet is functional clothing. I appreciate that. Clothing, to me, for the most part, is just a tremendous pain in the ass. If you think of the amount of time, mental effort, physical energy that goes into your clothes, picking them, buying them, does that go with that? I don't think I can wear that. Oh, I'm missing a button. This is dirty. I got to get something new. That's up my ass. Can't wear this. I think we should all wear the same exact clothes because it seems to be what happens eventually anyway. Anytime you see a movie or a TV show where there's people from the future, or another planet, they're all wearing the same outfit. I think the decision just gets made. All right, everyone, from now on, it's just going to be the one-piece silver suit with the V-stripe and the boots. That's the outfit. We're going to be visiting other planets. We want to look like a team here. The individuality thing is over. The dry cleaner I can't stand, because I don't think he's doing it. I don't know what goes on back there, but I cannot conceive of such a thing as actual dry cleaning. We all accept it because we see the stores everywhere. But think about it. Dry? Well, what is dry? You can't clean something dry. What do? Tap it, shake it, blow on it? There's got to be some kind of a liquid back there. Did you ever get something on your clothes and get it off with a fingernail? That's dry cleaning. That is the only dry cleaning. I brought this guy in a suede jacket, got spots on it because I was in the rain. Says there's nothing we can do. Water ruins leather. Well, now, aren't cows outdoors a lot of the time? When it rains, do the cows go up to the farmhouse? Hey, let us in. We're all wearing leather out here. Hey, open up, man. I'm suede. I'm living suede. Dry clean only is definitely the only warning label that human beings actually respect. You know, they'll look at cigarettes. This will give you cancer, kill you, kids, everything. Ah, screw it. I'll do whatever the hell I want. Don't drink this medicine and operate heavy machinery. Oh, glug, 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 glug. Who cares? That's for people that don't know what the hell they're doing. I'm a pro. But if you have something that's dry clean only and someone goes to put it in the wash machine, don't put it in the wash machine, it's dry clean only. You're crazy, out of your mind. It is amazing what people will believe. I mean, I watch these infomercials late at night. If it gets late enough, the products start to look good to me. I have actually found myself sitting there thinking, you know, I don't think I have a knife that can cut through a shoe. I don't think any of my knives are good enough to cut through shoes. I'm gonna get this knife and cut my shoes up. That seems pretty good. I think the dumbest thing you can think late at night is, you know, I'm gonna get this thing and get in shape. You know, it's like 3 a.m, you got potato chip crumbs on your shirt there. You got one eye open, one sock hanging off of the foot. You go, yeah, I'm going to start working out with this thing. I'm going to order this thing. This is all I need to get in shape. This is a fantastic device. Rip off. Can't stop getting ripped off. We're going to get ripped off. We think we're not. We think we're very clever. We think we're going to foil the crooks. You know, we go to the beach, go in the water, put your wallet in the sneaker, who's going to know? What criminal mind could penetrate this fortress of security? I put it down by the toe, they never look there. They check the heels, they move on. Well, you ever move a TV set in the backseat of your car, then I got to leave the car on the street for a few minutes, so you put a sweater over the TV. It's a couple of sweaters, that's all. One of them is square with an antenna coming out of it. So feeble, the things we come up with, the foil crooks. The wanted posters at the post office. You're there, you got your package. You're trying to mail something. This guy's wanted in 12 states. Yeah, now what? Okay. You know, I checked the guy standing in line behind me. If it's not him, that's pretty much all I can do. Why don't they just hold on to this guy when they're taking his picture? The guy's there with you. Come out from behind the camera, grab him! No, we don't do that. We take their picture, we let him go. That's how we get the front and side shot. The front is his face, the side is him leaving. Why don't they put the pictures of the criminals on the postage stamps? Let the postman look for him. He's out there walking around all day. He's got the uniform on. Can't he do something? And we got another letter for you here, Mr. Johnson. I think that's him. So we really did have a good time on... This is the end of a long tour. And when you're on the road, you always have to do whatever anyone suggests that day. Because you have nothing to do. And you have no ideas. So you do whatever anyone suggests. So a couple weeks ago, we go to the track. I did that a couple of times in my life. Betting on the horses. It can't possibly win. I don't even understand what we're betting on. I mean, do the horses know that it's a race? Are they aware? Well, what is going on here? After the race of the horses walking back to the stable, I was third, I was first, I was ninth. I think they're thinking, oat bag, I get my oat bag now. Oat bag time. I got a bet on this idiot? I mean, I'm sure the horses have some idea that the jockey is in a big hurry. I mean, he's on him, he's hitting him with the thing, he's going, come on, come on, this is obviously, he's in a hurry, the jockey's in a hurry. But the horse must get to the end and go, we were just here, what was the point of that? This is where we were. That was the longest possible route you could take. Why didn't we just stay here? We would have been first. I'll tell you one thing the horses definitely do not know. They do not know if you should accidentally trip and break your leg at any point during the race, we blow your brains out. I think they're missing that little tidbit of information. I think if they knew that, you'd see some mighty careful stepping coming down that home stretch. Take it easy, take it easy. You win, I'll place, whatever. The important thing is your health. I've gone horseback riding. I can't do that. They don't give you the really good horses when you're not good at it, I found out. The guy says to me, what level rider would you say that you are? I said, I don't know, zero, nothing, whatever the system is. I can't do it. Is that clear enough for you? I'm going where the horse wants to go. That's my level. Of course, they hear that, they start looking around. All right, is glue stick back yet? How about almost dead? Why don't you saddle him up? So I get on this U-shaped, lightning quick steed. I got the only horse. You could put your feet flat on the ground while you're riding. I'm riding a hammock here. Looking up at my friends. I don't feel like we all got the same kind of horse here. It's kind of a secure feeling. I could walk along with him if I wanted. But and the horse wasn't too thrilled with having me either. Because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So he takes control. Going this way, going that way. I'm trying to, come on, come on. Then they just stop. You know, and you're, what is it, you know? And they look up at you. Chill out, hop along, I know the trail. Yeah, I'm here every goddamn day, okay? And I really appreciate the kicking while I'm taking a leak, too. Yeah, thanks a lot. That really improves the already wonderful life that I have. People either sitting on me or kicking me while I'm peeing. I'm living in a paradise here at the ranch. I get out of a car that has 300 horsepower so I can sit on an animal that has one. Why do we even use the term horsepower? Is that to further humiliate horses? The space shuttle rockets have 20 million horsepower. Is there any point in still comparing it to the horses? Or any chance of going back to using rockets with horses, trying to keep track of how many we're going to need? Hey, horses, a rocket engine's broke down. Can you get 20 million friends together really fast?
20 million, that's a lot.
They make glue out of horses. I don't know who started that. Who saw that potential? That's pretty amazing to me. What are you working in a stationery store? A horse walks by. Hey, wait a minute. I think he could be glue. How do we pick out the really sticky ones? You leave that to me. What about that one over there? He's weaving around. He looks like he's out of his mind. He'll be crazy glue. To me, the toughest part of that horse life is that trailer. Why do they make the horse trailer like that? Is that the best way to move a horse out on the highway? With their huge, fat, disgusting rear ends right in my face? Do the horses like it? They're probably standing in the back going, do you feel a draft, Bill? I can't see anything back there, but it's awfully breezy, isn't it? You don't think our huge, fat asses are hanging out the back of this truck, do you? Why the hell would they do that to us? They already ride us around and kick us while we're peeing. Why stick our ass out of a truck? But I have fully adjusted to the road. I like hotels. I enjoy tiny soap. I pretend that it's normal soap and my muscles are huge. And you can always tell when you're in a fine quality luxury hotel when the TV is bolted to a solid steel beam and welded into the wall. is this a big problem in the hotel business? People coming up to the desk, I'd like to check out. The main thing is the bathroom, the shower, that's got to be good. That's why I don't like to stay with people on the road. I don't want to be in other people's showers. I never know how to operate them. You know what I mean? You can never get the ratios right on the dials. Sometimes a 1/16 of an inch is 1,000 degrees. You got to get out of the way of the water. There's always that little hair stuck on the wall, too. And you want to get rid of it, but you don't want to touch it. I don't know how it got up that high in the first place. Maybe it's got a life of its own. So you got to aim the shower head at the hair. That never works. You got to get a pool of water from under the shower and over to the hair. Get it down a foot at a time like this. The hair is hanging on. But we have to fight these battles. We're all alone in the bathroom. Whatever goes wrong, you have to handle it. You ever go to a big party, go in the bathroom, flush the toilet, and the water starts coming up? This is the most frightening moment in the life of a human being. You'll do anything to stop this. You'll lose your mind, start talking to the toilet. No, please don't do this to me. No, come on, you know this is not my responsibility. I didn't make this happen. I'll get you the blue thing, the man in the boat. Just let me off the hook this one time. Thank you very much. You've been a wonderful audience. Thank you for coming.